invite Alan and Brian Q to the floor.
Good morning. I want to speak to the business outreach that we've been doing. And beginning in late February, which seems like a lifetime ago right now, we started to notice a really serious uptick in calls and direct inquiries to the COVID-19 issues, particularly as the state started to ramp up its response. Our call volume did as well, and it was from a real cross-section of county locations and business sectors. And just going backward a couple of years ago, our board made the very forward-thinking determination to become a chamber of the future and focus on building community, not on building membership. And we are, in fact, and reflected in all of our activities and programs, the business community resource center. And that's an important distinction. Toward that end, in addition to directly responding to inquiries, our staff started an outreach. We have a database of several thousand businesses and members, and our outreach started with phone calls, and our phone calls are continuing, even as we're talking here today. Every day they are calling people just to check in. How are you doing? What are your concerns? What do you need now? How can we help now? What are you going to need to recover from this? What can we help you with? And I want to just say a real thank you to Team Chamber, who is doing an absolutely fabulous job of reaching out to people. And I am hearing from the community how impressed they are with the quality of our team. So we're very grateful for that. The concerns initially were centered around, do I keep my business open? Do I close it? And as those decisions were being made for some of those businesses, the concerns morphed into much more about, you know, what is the CARES Act going to do for me? How am I going to be able to access it? And we put together on our website and through social media and through actual hand delivery of a COVID toolkit project for the city and the county, we put together an enormous reach of outreach. And some of our Facebook posts reached 2,000 to 12,000 people. So it's a large number of people who we are getting information to, getting links to, hooking up to the EDC and our partner agencies, and toward that end, maintaining a high degree of participation in knowledge and programmatic-based informational sessions for resources so we can keep up to date. In working with emergency management, we've provided ongoing resourcing and updating of things like available Wi-Fi hotspots throughout the county, restaurant and food resources, accommodations, resources for OCAP. And just recently, to fulfill a really serious local need for small business support, we launched a Pay It Forward campaign on our website and in social with an interactive list that started with 62 and is growing rapidly, of local businesses offering online ordering and gift cards. And we've uploaded that to the state program as well through the Washington Tourist Association. So no matter where you are, you can spend money in Jefferson County without coming here. We are collaborating on a daily basis with partner organizations, state and national government, chamber organizations, tourism, destination marketing associations, staffing, business resources, everything from the U.S. Chamber to the Olympic Peninsula Tourism Council to employment security services. We are spending more time in meetings than we thought possible, the same way all of you are. And the information is rapidly shifting, and we need to stay on top of that so we can continue to provide our partners and the community with great resources. Toward that end, the Business Insider, which reaches 9,000 people in print through the leader, is still being published, but, and we push that to about 7,000 people on top of that digitally every month. The lead time on that is 3 weeks, and right now that's dated news. And even though it's not member news any longer, 2 years ago we changed that to community business news, we decided that we needed to put news out on a more regular basis. So we started a blog on the Chamber website, as well as a weekly county business news update called Jeff Connects. And Jeff Connects will publish for the first time this week, and it has links to EDC programs, features, local businesses, and how they are working through the challenges and success stories and employment issue updates. And we are looking to our community businesses for input. And it's currently being accepted for publication and will be on an annual basis. We're bringing back our popular Friday morning chamber cafes, minus the coffee and muffins and the intense community interaction. Into a virtual environment, and it'll be topic-centric, and they'll be weekly so that we can be nimble and responsive. Along with the EDC, we are scheduling online workshops with our community partners to cover those questions that come up for our outreach projects. Right now, the hot topics are loan applications and strategies. If I apply for this loan, can I get this one too? What does that mean, and how does that work? Human resources issues, and how to counsel your employees. Customer service during a pandemic. This is a whole new business for people that are remaining open.
Are any of those workshops scheduled yet?
No, we will be doing that this week, and we will put a schedule out before the end of the week. So we've got a lot on the agenda this week to roll out. Thank you for asking, though. We also are looking at mental health issues, just on a personal business basis, but also on an employee basis, how to migrate to online marketing and ordering platforms and business planning for the next 90 days and more. The other part of that is because these are online and because we can use 5 people in a group or 50 or 500, we can scale these, they can be hyper-focused and really specific to what the needs are that week, so we're very excited about it. Before I ramble on, I'm going to pass this back to Brian.
All right, thanks, Arlene. The EDC has been obviously working alongside the Chamber, even though we're virtually co-located these days, and that seems to be working well. We're obviously being responsive to a lot of outreach that businesses are doing, looking for answers and specifically technical assistance. So spending our time being as familiar, as possible with the stimulus programs, how to access them, and help folks seek a strategy on the best way to access the various programs. I'll discuss those in a minute. Obviously, sharing critical updates. Last night, this morning, you may have received an email as an example of that, showing, okay, these are some of the things that we're helping businesses with. Please spread the word. Please send them here. So we're trying to do that with local elected bodies and also key stakeholders, membership organizations, EDA, downtown, of course, marine trades, and the like. And then on a quite literally daily basis, just collaborating with colleagues and partners at all levels, not only regionally with the Clallam EDC, who's been a strong partner, but also statewide with Commerce. Our SBDC advisors, we talked a lot about that recently with the PIF committee, and I think that's been serendipitous that we were able to restore those services to our community. The SBA, and then I've also got to mention Congressman Kilmer's office, who's been, he comes from the economic development world, so he gets it from at least my lens, and he's been obviously very proactive and a helpful partner. So what are some of the resources available to businesses? My slide doesn't want to advance. There we go. So one you heard about earlier in public comments, Case Cult had mentioned Lion. Really self-identified early on that there was going to be cash flow needs for a lot of businesses that are going to be disrupted by this COVID crisis, whether it's from mandatory closures or just the impact of the marketplace in regard to a shelter at home order. So we helped them put together a streamlined program that's already seen, I think Case mentioned a dozen. I would double that number because we do assist with the administration of that. Seen a lot of requests go out for immediate assistance. And one unique thing about the Lion program is Lion has been successful in being the sole lender, if you will, or source of capital for a lot of projects traditionally, and they may be able to do that still with these gap needs, but they also recognize that they can help get money out the door quicker than some of the government programs and can act in a bridge capacity until those come through. So that's an advantage, frankly, we have in East Jefferson County that other communities are at a disadvantage. Another piece that is a little more enigmatic, but it becomes clearer every day, is expansion to the Employment Security Department benefits or unemployment insurance. The program that is coming online that will hopefully be live in a couple weeks is the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program. This will expand to include those who are self-employed, even small business owners, and it will also enhance what recipients of traditional unemployment, if you will, traditional programs receive. So that's a part of the stimulus package that's being pushed through state channels, and they are fervently developing the systems to handle those very unique benefits that will be available for folks. Another one that's since been renamed the Governor's Emergency Microgrant Program, Working Washington Program, will be launched likely today, if not tomorrow. That was for an early morning call. And that will be up to $10,000 grants that came out of the Strategic Reserve Fund in the state. Governor Inslee earmarked about $5 million for that. So if you do the quick math, you recognize that there will be limited opportunities for those, and we'll be hoping to help local businesses apply, and then in collaboration with stakeholders such as yourselves, be prioritizing what we submit up to Commerce for their consideration. So look for more information.
What are the high-level criteria for those microgrants?
Sure. Immediately is having been in business for a year, 1 to 10 employees, and the rationale there is that larger businesses may have a greater sophistication to access some other programs, really targeting those smaller enterprises. And those are the big ones. There'll be more guidance issued today. There's been a lot of Q&A with the ADOs across the state, so just trying to make those as smooth as possible. But I'll get those to you as soon as they go live.
Thank you.
The other program that folks have been hearing about and talking about, of course, is the SBA Economic Injury Disaster Loan / Grant Program, EIDL, and that launched this time last Monday. And what that is low-interest, loan repayment term loans to assist in a bridge capacity for making payroll, paying rent, things of the like. What it also included, and I want to be clear that this is true, is an opportunity to request a quote-unquote advance on your loan application. That advance, up to $10,000, is actually the grants to small businesses that you've been hearing about. So it's tucked away inside that application. It requires you to check a box and enter your bank information. But once given out to a business, there's no repayment terms to it. It's forgiven. Whether or not one chooses to continue with the loan request or take the $10,000 and say thank you. So we've yet, I was on a call this morning with my colleagues across the state, and no one has seen it actually go into someone's account yet, but a couple businesses over in Clallam actually already received a call back from the SBA confirming that, yes, they wanted that grant and whether or not they wanted to proceed with their loan requests. So we'll see. We'll all be hearing about it as soon as those start hitting people's accounts. The other one that launched on Friday and has been kind of rocked with a little bit of controversy over the weekend is the Payment Protection Program, or PPP or P3, I prefer P3, loan. And that is a shift on the previous loan I mentioned. It is specifically to give funds to help businesses keep their employees paid. And so the intent is to provide resources via that channel versus having those employees on uninsurance benefits, or unemployment insurance benefits, excuse me. And if the applicant business is awarded the funds or is given the loan through their local bank, and after a period of time, if they don't lay anybody off, then that balance is paid off by the government slash forgiven. So the SBA or Treasury will pay off that loan. The challenge is with banks is dealing with these very low interest and very temporary or short-term loans, and the volume that's already, I say anticipated, it's already hit. I received a number of calls while Dr. Locke was presenting on business owners seeking access to this. You may have read this morning that Wells Fargo has suspended applications because they believe they've already they already have enough applications to go through their allotted $10 billion. So this will continue to be a challenge as far as how folks can access that, but there is a search tool that I sent out in last night's update, but it's also posted on our website to see if your bank is participating. The two things I would say with potential applicants is if there is an online portal, and there most undoubtedly will be, please use that in lieu of your existing relationship with a banker. And that sounds counterintuitive, but your banker is overwhelmed and is not going to be able to hand process all the different applications versus going through the systems that most banks are building right now. So it's impersonal, but that's direct from bankers. Please use the online portals for those applications to assist with that. And, of course, be patient. You know, it's chaotic for our banks right now. Obviously, good intent was ahead of the systems in place, but they're doing their best.
Brian, how did the business find the portal address?
To their bank's application?
Yes.
It would be on any given bank's website. They'll have a link to it. So it's not one given portal. It'll be First Federal. Here's a link to our portal. KeyBank, here's a link to our portal.
Are all banks doing this loan, or they have to be SBA lenders? Is that correct?
Great question. They don't have to be previous SBA lenders, although most banks have that qualification. They also don't have to participate in this program regardless. And so I know a number of folks have issued their conveyed their dismay that their bank is not participating, but you know, there are a number of banks who are. I can confirm Kitsap Bank is, Salem Community Bank, First Federal, Key Bank, First Security Bank, Columbia Bank, Chase, and others. So there are a number of them that are doing this. Some of them, you may have heard that some of them are only limiting applications to existing customers. That is true, but not the case across the board. And again, it just has to do with that individual bank's capacity to process these loans. So we'll share more about that as those continue to hopefully hit the streets. But that is a pretty significant benefit. There are some, I'll put it this way, there are some who believe that, again, you do the math, the amount of money allotted, even though it's a lot, you know, divide that by the average loan amount, that it's going to run out quick, and that's probably the case. There are also some who believe that there will be further tranches of funding from the federal government. I can directly convey that our legislators are very much on top of those concerns, I believe. So they're already talking about it, but just encourage folks to try and access these programs regardless. Don't throttle yourself. Just go for them. And then finally, as we mentioned, with the resources that we have, that direct technical assistance, that one-on-one, the rest of my day is pretty much booked out with one-on-one virtual meetings with a number of businesses. So that's something we continue to provide. Our SBDC partners have been fantastic. Over the weekend, I fielded an inquiry for needs with a language barrier, Mandarin Chinese. It was able to get them connected with an SBDC advisor who's fluent in Mandarin. And doing the same for Spanish. And then our friends at CIE as well. It's the Center for Inclusive Entrepreneurship, and they've been excellent partners as well. So, Arlene, we'll talk next about kind of the economic recovery. What's next?
Sure. And just, you know, to make the case that for so long now, people have walked in the front door of the Business Resource Center and been able to work with both Brian and myself and our teams. And the door might be shut, but we are virtually opened and able to give that same one-stop shopping business support from start to finish with whatever needs you have. So we want to make sure people understand that and that we are open for business, just virtually. We are also, we've been working with emergency management with Willie and his team. For gosh, we worked with him for about 6 months and on a program called COAD, which is the Community Organizations Active in Disasters, to try to get that rolled out. And we had our initial meeting scheduled for March 25th. Timing was perfect. Oh, gosh. So that, along with everything else for March and April, got canceled. But that project is still in the works, and we'll be looping in all of our community partners on that and putting that in place. The program for community businesses and nonprofits and worship organizations to work together to plan to prevent and to mitigate some of what we're experiencing now and the challenges that are upcoming, and to ensure good business communication and community engagement with plans for reset and recovery for any disaster. And it would have been great to have that in place now, but that is an ongoing need forever, and we want to get that in place, and we will continue to move that forward. The Chamber Cafe Community Conversations will start this Friday, April 10th at 10 a.m. Virtually. And that will be, our guest will be Chris Eidler, who is the Executive Director of the Northwest Region for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who have been really helpful in terms of getting the CARES Act not only through, but into an understandable format early on for most of our businesses. And Brian Q from the EDC will be there taking Chris's information hyperlocal on local grant and loan landscape. We will be putting out a schedule up this week for the educational virtual workshop. And the county and Port Townsend leadership have tasked the Chamber and EDC with forming and conducting a COVID recovery task force, and we are actively moving forward on that project. We're speaking to a diverse group of participants from multiple business sectors, including, but not limited to, agriculture, retail, manufacturing, maritime, accommodations, food service, real estate, finance, nonprofit, education, transportation, and others. And this group is going to look at short-term and long-term recovery for our community with an eye on diversification for sustainability and to make recommendations to city and county governmental agencies. Additionally, they'll provide ongoing input for the Business Resource Center combined programs and workshops, publications supporting the revitalization and reset for our future. The group will meet about once a week for an hour to start and then set its own schedule for what it thinks it needs. And we are currently working through a list of interested participants to ensure their availability and commitment to the depth of engagement in building the future of our community that we'll be setting. And we'll be setting that meeting, the first meeting, before the end of this week. And we're very excited about the people that have stepped up and said, count me in. I don't care how much it takes. We are here for this. This is a community that is inspirational and in its ability to engage and its love of place. And with that, I'm going to pass this back to Brian to wrap this up.
Thanks, Arlene. So I just wanted to close with where folks can go for support and assistance the EDC COVID page and also the Chamber COVID page are where they're putting in some updates on their direct resource connections to various agencies. At the EDC page, we've also linked directly to some of the applications for the programs I just discussed, as they've otherwise been a little bit buried in the SBA site, and also the Lion program. And then also, really important, trying to make this as memorable as possible, but just a direct portal for assistance, where to go. Help at edcteamjefferson.org. That'll get you access to myself, Arlene, our boards who are helping to provide technical assistance, and any other resource partners we have. We are working to improve the online portal for folks to make it a little more I need this and can go here and kind of have those guideposts that we've talked about before. So we will be announcing those continue to roll online, but encourage you to direct folks our way, and we look forward to helping them during this unprecedented time. And with that, we'd love to answer any questions you have.
Great. Thank you very much, Arlene and Brian. David, do you have any questions?
No. A lot of good work, a lot of good resources. I just hope people can continue to look to find them.
Kate?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for the presentation. I'm curious, do you feel like the businesses that you're in touch with are able to kind of navigate the various programs sufficiently with your help? I assume it's largely over the phone and via email. But are the systems pretty navigable with a little bit of technical assistance from you, or are businesses still struggling to be able to navigate that?
And I would say more of the former, and frankly, that's kind of a testimony to reputation in East Jefferson County of businesses that are well-researched. I've been pleasantly surprised with how much folks are knowing when I'm speaking with them and helping to clarify points. So there are still people undoubtedly who are having trouble navigating the various resources. Like I said, the SBA page by itself, they moved the application link overnight one day, and that caused some pretty widespread confusion. So barring those sort of shocks to this new system, I think a lot of folks are doing well in terms of what they're paying attention to. They certainly are seeking answers or clarification. Is that really a grant? Do I really not have to pay it back? Those kind of things. And that's where I'll give a lot of credit, again, to my colleagues across the state, but especially the Department of Commerce and Kilmer's office, who has really been helpful in adding clarity in that ocean of chaos.
Yeah, and I appreciated Congressman Kilmer reaching out and saying again and again, what can I do? What do you need? And I know a couple of concerns I've heard come up in the federal package that passed a week or 10 days ago was concern about farms not being eligible, I think, for the SBA program, and the other being the Triple P program you mentioned, where that is forgivable, the loan is forgivable if you keep your entire workforce employed. And so I've heard a lot of folks say that for those two reasons, that program is not highly relevant here. So are those accurate statements? And is that something that we should be passing along to Kilmer that makes it harder for our businesses to use those programs?
Those are both accurate statements, and I would encourage us all to continue to ring the bell on behalf of our agriculture sector. Rightly or otherwise, this crisis has exposed where gaps exist, and that's a big one for our community because the profile of our ag sector, specifically, small farms, they don't have access to some of the resources even larger farms have. We are going to be continuing to coordinate with WESU Extension and the USDA and other ag financing. Even if it's a retail business, and you can have them strategize on, the new reality of retail and how that's going to be, or once these restrictions are lifted. You know, they can certainly be contributing to the business as the business owner deems fit, but it does not mean they're forced back into a work environment that obviously has no activity. Does that make sense?
I'd like a little clarification about that. So if I have a business and I've shut down, but I want to have my folks come back and do, you know, like a non-retail part of it, you know, maybe we do inventory or something, is PPP something that I can use to bring them back to work in a different facility? Or is it PPP just in lieu of unemployment and stay home and don't work and we're going to cover you?
So you absolutely could reassign your employees to, you know, like you said, an inventory for your type of businesses or things of the like. So it's up to the discretion. The intent behind the PPP program is that once the dust clears, these folks have a job once again. And so this is just getting them through that period. So however you choose to utilize them, so long as you don't, quote-unquote, lay them off, but you can pay them through these proceeds, that's an eligible use.
My one question for you guys is, should people be filling out these applications? Maybe we talk about the micro grant from the governor as an example, but should they be getting them in as quickly as possible to save a place in line, or should they be doing them as completely as possible to have the best qualified application? I mean, are we going to have people not getting grants because they're too slow?
Greg, that's a great question, and I actually spoke with that on some lenders on Friday about. It's a fine line, but to give you kind of an answer both sides of my mouth is submit a complete application as soon as possible. Do not submit incomplete applications because that will not secure you a place in line. It'll get you kicked out and maybe even rejected, which just is a, you know, a headwind against you the next time you try and apply. So take time to complete the application, but do so, you know, with alacrity and, you know, try to get in early, as early as possible. But, you know, trying to stick your foot in the line, you know, with your name and Social Security number only does not serve the system well or the applicant.
Great. Thank you. Philip, any questions before we?
No.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the update and, you know, for continuing, as we all have to do, to evolve to meet the realities of this situation and continue to, you know, help our business community. So, Arlene, Brian, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.